Good morning, everyone. And we just ask for the help of your spirit now as we consider your word. Help us to understand your truth. But more than that, not just to understand it, but to apply it to our lives. Please bring it alive. Help us get excited about your truth and not just take it for granted, the fact that you've spoken to us through your word. And so we just ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Does anyone have a moment of regret in their life? A time where you said or you did something that causes you to cringe. It was coming to a time in my life, birthdays were really special in our family. Mum would always go right out of her way and the family's way to make us feel special. So on the morning of our birthday, one of the siblings, I got two sisters and a brother, one of us would cook breakfast for each other. So depending on who was cooking, depends on the quality of the eggs that you get. mine were often referred to as cardboard, but it was my birthday, so I wasn't cooking, so it was good. And everyone would come in and you'd sing happy birthday to each other in the morning. Now, this certain birthday that I was having, I was, for those of you who know the movie Mighty Ducks, I used to be on at least once a year. I loved that movie. I wanted some hockey sticks, like the ice hockey sticks. That's what I was really hoping for. But at this time, we were struggling a lot financially. And Mum was really stressing out because she liked to make birthdays special. And she wasn't sure how she was going to be able to do it. Now, birthday morning was exciting. I saw what looked like hockey sticks wrapped up. I unwrapped them, but they were cheaper versions. And my face fell. And Mum asked me, oh, what's wrong? And I said to her, and like, this is that moment, I said, these aren't the ones that I wanted. Man, horrible. But the thing is, when it comes to Christmas time, many of us can have this response to Jesus. We do not appreciate who it is that's really come into our world and what he has done for us. We get so familiar with this story that we hear every year that it grows old. We may hear about this story, but we don't see how it connects to us. And we don't really appreciate Jesus for who he truly is. We don't truly understand what he has done for us personally. And so at Christmas time, when we hear about Jesus, when Jesus is offered to us, when we get to this time of year, we hope for something or someone better. Now the introduction to John's Gospel will challenge us this morning. And when we see the true Jesus, we'll have a choice to make. Do we believe in him? Will we receive him or not? Now, John's Gospel was written later than the other Gospels, and like the other Gospels, though, it proclaims the good news of Jesus Christ, but it does it in a slightly different way. Rather than just talking about the events of Jesus' life, John, led by the Spirit of God, he emphasized the meaning of those events. And his purpose for this gospel is seen in John chapter 20, verse 30 to 31. And if you have your Bibles with you, I encourage you to read these verses. John chapter 20, verse 30 to 31. The purpose for writing this gospel. And it says this. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And so this is why John's writing this gospel, the good news of Jesus. This is why he emphasized the meaning of what Jesus has done. And the introduction to this gospel is again different to the other gospels. It teaches us about the Son of God and how we are to view him, rather than just speaking of the events that show it. And so in doing this, he's providing a lens for which we see the rest of this book. Now, Christmas time is coming up very soon. Can you believe it? What a crazy year we've had, and we're already at Christmas. Now, in the lead up to the festive season, we're going to see the very same responses to Jesus that we see throughout John's Gospel. And the challenge for the readers then is the same challenge for us today. Who do we believe Jesus to be? And will we receive him? Because our answer to this question will impact how we view Jesus coming into our world, our understanding of his life, death, and resurrection. Because otherwise, another busy Christmas happens. We get caught up in good things, and they are good things, like holidays, good food, catch-ups with the family and friends and getting some presents. But we can take for granted or dismiss the greatest thing that has ever happened in our history, Christ coming into our world. Now, I recently read a book on evangelism by Rico Tice, the guy who does Christianity Explored. And he speaks of this temptation to dull down the message of Jesus to make it more appealing to your friends or family. And when it comes to speaking about sin, when it comes to speaking about hell, when it comes to speak of the necessity of faith in Christ and the fact that we need to make a decision, we can make a compromise. And as I'm reading this book, I felt so convicted because I've done that so many times. I try to make Jesus something that people want rather than something that they really need. I know Jesus is what everyone needs, but I kind of make him more of a way rather than the way. I try to make him sound more appealing in my mind, in my understanding, rather than share the truth. But the fact is, the Bible doesn't allow us to do that. And we see that today in today's passage. Who is the Jesus that we celebrate and remember at Christmas? And so in today's passage, we'll see three things. Jesus is the eternal Son of God, who created the whole universe. Jesus is light and life, and we have a choice to reject him or to receive him. Now, as we speak, our words, our personal words, reveal to those around us our hearts and our minds. And we see at the start of this passage that Jesus is God's word to reveal God's heart and mind to us. Let's have a look again at verses 1 to 3, and we'll also read verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. And down to verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from God. And this goes against many other cults that say Jesus was a created being. These verses say, no, Jesus always was, he always is, and always was with God. We also see in these verses that Jesus is the almighty co-creator. God created all things through Christ. In Colossians 1 verse 16, it says, all things were created by him and for him. Now, sometimes it's a bit hard trying to grasp how big this creation is. We read these things and it can just wash over us. Recently, I had a bit of a brain explosion with our youth group teen study, and it still gets me, but I realised there's actually a lot of fabric in the world. And this happened when I was in Kmart, and I was like, man, there's a lot of clothes. And then I was looking at the people around me, I was like, not many people are wearing the same things. And I was like, there's a lot of t-shirts, and there's a lot of pants. And it's like, but, yeah. And then I was like, well, this is only in this Kmart and Morley. What about the rest of the world? And as I was thinking through it, I was just like, man, there is a lot of fabric in the world. But then, you know, you think about those fabrics. Someone's designed it. Someone's made the fabric, put the fabric together, grown the plants to have the cotton and do all that kind of thing. You know, Jesus is the one who created those plants to grow the cotton. Jesus is the one who's created human beings with the ability to think and understand with all the happenings in the mind for us to understand, to make clothes, to do different designs, to do things that so that... You see, Jesus is God who has come in human flesh. He wasn't this phantom or spirit. He was a true Son of God who became a man. He was visible. He was physical. He was tired. He got hungry. He got emotional. He bled and he died. Again, in Colossians 1:15, it tells us that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Jesus himself says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because our minds do struggle to grasp the enormity of it all. It's like someone going on this fantastic holiday and they've seen these amazing mountains or they've been to the Grand Canyon and they show you a photo and you're just kind of like, I'm not really feeling it, you know? Like, I could have Googled that if I wanted to see that. We're not understanding, not connecting with them on what it felt like to actually stand on the edge of the canyon and have a look. Now, this is because we're so used to seeing great things. Something that's great at the start of week isn't so great by the end of the week because something else has happened. We have so much easy access to seeing what is happening around the world. But occasionally we get these moments in our life where someone or something happens that transcend everything else. For me personally, in the grand final that happened this year, Dusty Martin kicked this goal right towards the end of the game. That was just absolutely amazing. But Jesus is greater than him. I remember the feeling of going to see the band Coldplay live in Melbourne. There's 80,000 people there. They're all singing together. I remember the feeling of that. It was quite incredible. But Jesus is greater than them. I still remember the time. This is a couple of the biggest highlights of my life. The time when my wife-to-be was walking, turned the corner and started walking down the aisle towards me. Still remember holding Piper and holding Fletcher for the first time. But Jesus coming into our world is greater than that. You see, the eternal Son of God, who created all things, entered into our human history as a man to reveal God to mankind. He came to reveal the way that sinful human beings can have a relationship with a holy God. And he did this for you here this morning. This is what happened when Jesus was born. And this is what we're trying to appreciate at Christmas. But the purpose for Jesus coming is what we want to focus on this morning, because this is what we're celebrating in a few weeks. Jesus came as light and life into our world of death and darkness. Did you notice that in verses 4 to 8? Let's have a read of those verses again. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light, he came only as a witness to the light. Now, have you ever been in a dark room before where there is actually no light? What's our first instinct? Our first instinct is self-preservation. We're not going to go sprinting around in a dark room with no light because we'll hurt ourselves. When we're in that darkness, we look after number one. So just imagine being born into a room like that, where you've never actually seen light before. You actually don't even know what light is. And this is the reality of the world that we live in. And the world of darkness is also associated with death, just as light is associated and connected with life. And this darkness and death is not necessarily a reference to the literal darkness or a literal death, but they are helpful metaphors for how we are to view the world that we live in and our separation from God. Because when Adam and Eve rejected God, their sin caused separation from God's light and life. Their relationship was destroyed, and the power to live as God created us to live was removed. And ever since then, mankind has been trying to figure out how to live in God's world without God. And so darkness is this great image of our separation from God. We cannot see what is around us, we cannot see our need, and we are totally self-reliant. We have no idea about our need or our destiny. Now, at moments in time throughout our history, God has shone in the darkness, but it's a light that's been veiled. And so in steps Jesus. As a creator of all, he is the original source of all light and life. That is why life is found in him. It is why he shines as a light in the darkness. The veiled light throughout all history was all sourced from Christ. So we're back into that room of darkness again. Imagine having the light switched on for the first time in your life. What happens? Well, if you've ever been to the movies in the middle of the day, when you leave the cinemas, you come out the light and you're kind of blocking your eyes and trying to gain your bearings again. And this is what is brought out at the end of verse 5. The word overcome can also mean understood. Those in darkness did not understand the light, so they could in no way overcome the light. And we see in verses 6 to 8 that this is the light John the Baptist was pointing to. And what a unique and special ministry he had. A man sent by God to point others to Jesus. To say, this is the light we've all been waiting for. This is the light we need. But remember, there's two responses to Jesus. And this is what we're going to look at now, seen in the following verses. For mums in this room, in our church, do you remember the first time you were away from your kids after having your newborn? I still remember the first time Maddie went to work after giving birth to Piper. She was quite upset about going to work, but she knew it was good for her to get away for a bit. But when she got home, she was super excited to see Piper again. She really missed her that whole day. And she crouched down with her arms wide open, and Piper started running towards her. But Piper just ran straight past her to pick up a toy. Have you ever experienced that before? Because this is what happened when Jesus entered our world. We so easily prefer the gifts and not the giver. We pick this up in verses 9 to 11. Let's read that together again. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. So John introduces what will be a common reaction to Jesus throughout this book. The rejection of the light, the scattering, the opposition, and the protest. So let's explore this a bit and think about how it connects to us today. His own creation, his own people rejected him. The very world that Jesus created did not recognize him for who he was, and so they rejected him. Even those who had the special revelation of God's word, God's special people rejected him and sought to put that light out. Now think again of the lived experience of the people who heard and saw Jesus. They experienced his provision. Those couple of times where Jesus fed thousands of people who were following him from an impossible situation. And yet these people continue to follow him, not because of who he is, but so they can have more food. These people witnessed Jesus do miracles. People saw the blind now seeing. They saw the lame now walking. They saw the demon-possessed delivered. We often hear of that saying, I'll believe it when I see it. These people saw it, and yet they did not believe in who Jesus was. Think also about the people who actually healed themselves. Many, many people were healed by Jesus. They were living testimony of the power of God, and yet they still did not believe in who Jesus actually was. These people heard Jesus' teaching, Jesus speaking the truth in love, Jesus living out grace and truth. He told them of their reality before God. He spoke to them of the consequences of rejecting God. He warned them of their danger over and over again. He spoke of the life he came to give. So think of all these people who heard and saw Jesus. How many of these people protested his crucifixion? Jesus is the way, but they would not walk with him. He is the truth, but they would not believe in him. He is the life, and they crucified him. What about those close to home? Jesus' closest followers and friends. When they were threatened, they abandoned him. They denied him. They ran away from him. These are people who not only saw and heard what Jesus did and said, they were also taught the meaning of what Jesus was doing. They had special insight and relationship with him, and yet they still ran away. This is where we see the light has shone in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Now, before we shake our heads at these guys, I hope we've been able to see a bit of ourselves in all these situations. Because there's nothing new under the sun. The same reasons that these people rejected Jesus is the same reasons we still have today. And a big reason for this rejection and abandonment is seen in verse 9. Jesus is the true light who has come into the world, and his light shines on everyone. Remember being in that dark room. Put ourselves back in that dark room. Other people can't see our actions. It's a lot easier to hide the wrong things that we do. Nothing of our character can be revealed. But when the light comes on, we're seen for what we are. Jesus, because of his love for us, came as light in our darkness to expose us for how we really are, for what we are really like, because we need to know the danger we are in. What is our natural response to a light being shot onto our lives? We want to run away and hide. We want to cover our eyes. We want to argue and protest to switch it off. And we're actually seeing this a lot at Christmas time in our world today. There is less and less recognition of Jesus. People do not want to see themselves in the light of Christ. But there's another aspect to this true light of Christ and why we reject him. And we hinted at it a bit earlier. We are easily distracted by false imitations. We cannot see Jesus for who he truly is because there's so many lights around in our life vying for our attention. You know, what happens when we're trying to look at our phones in the direct sunlight? We've got to cover it up. What happens if there's too much natural light on our computer screens? We've got to change the angle. You see, true light of Christ demands our attention, but we move out of his light because it takes away from all these other lights that are distracting us in our life. And as a result, we don't see Jesus for who he truly is. We don't see the need for his light in our life. And so this light and dark contrast is as clear today as it was then. The light of Christ is the true light, and it will always cause these two reactions, either rejection or reception. People will love it or they will hate it. And this is the reality of Christmas. It is a great time of joy. But to experience true joy, we need to understand why it is so important that the light was switched on. Let's look at verses 12 to 13. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. This is what is so wonderful about our Christmas story. Not everyone rejected Christ. Not everyone hid from his light and life. Rather than being repulsed by that light, they were attracted to him. Do you remember some of those great declarations at Jesus' birth? The angel saying to the shepherds, "Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you." Or Simeon at the temple praising God, saying, "My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in sight of all nations." Those who are attracted to the light of Christ recognize the darkness that they are in. Those who see life in Christ realize they are dead in their sin. They see light from the lighthouse, saving them from crashing into the rocks. And rather than sailing away or ignoring it, they sail and are guided by that light. So do you recognize your condition of darkness and death before God? That you have and continue to reject a relationship with God? Do you feel the weight of your sin? Do you feel the need for light and life in your world of death and darkness? Because Jesus is the one that we look to. Jesus is the one that we believe in. Jesus is the one that we receive. And receiving this gift, you will never regret it. Look at what those who believe in Christ receive in these verses. We become children of God. And there's a big difference from between a slave and a son. From slaves to sin to sons of God, this is what Christ has come into our world to do. Because slaves live in fear of the wrath from their master. Sons live in the love of their father. And I continue to say sons, because man and woman, through faith in Christ, you're adopted into God's family with all the entitlements and benefits of a son. This is unique to the Christian gospel, because women weren't able to inherit anything. It had to be the son. And so when we're declared and adopted as sons of God, we're receiving all that Christ has done. The inheritance, the blessings, the privileges are all yours through faith in God. Now, some of us can still have that fear. Some of us can struggle with knowing if we are truly a child of God. We look at ourselves and we see so little change in our life. Is this what it means to be a son of God? And we can wrestle with this thought, trying to understand if we have new life in Christ. But a pastor wisely warns us not to look outside of ourselves. Not even to look within ourselves. Because after looking to Christ for salvation, we don't then look within to see how we're saved for inward change. We need to continue to look to Christ. And Spurgeon puts it this way: instead of looking within yourself, you are to look to him who hangs on the cross, dying the just for the unjust to bring us to God. Fix your eyes on him and believe in him. When you see in yourself much that is evil, look away to him. When doubts prevail, look to him. When your conscience tells you of your past sins, look to him. And to do this, we need to receive Jesus as he truly is, as we see him in God's word. But did you notice the responsibility on our part? all who receive. To those who believe in his name, this adoption is given. So what does it mean to receive and believe? Well, similar to last week, remember that illustration of me not catching Piper, and we have trust issues now and all that? We're jumping into God's hands. A God that we're trusting will catch us. A God who will catch us. We're jumping in faith that Jesus died for our sins, and through faith in him you are forgiven and you have new life. So is the whole weight of our being, our eternal salvation, our eternal life resting on Christ. And did you notice it's not a natural thing? It's not something that originates within us, but from God. In verse 13, we see that all human effort is removed. Family faith isn't a thing. Family heritage is not a thing. Good deeds will not bring you into the family of God. And even more, good deeds won't keep you in the family of God. Faith in Christ is what keeps us in the family of God. Our adoption into God's family is not conditional on what we say or what we do or what we are born to. God is the one who's at work in our lives to bring us to Christ, to help us to receive him. And it's so much more amazing to say, to have someone say to us, I choose you to give you my love, my affirmation, and my protection, than to have someone say, you need to earn it. Does that make sense? This is what God has done for us. If you're seeing your need to receive Christ, that is God working in you. If you're encouraged again to believe in Christ for the thousandth time, this is God working in you. Spurgeon wisely says, let me caution you against a very common expression. I hear converts continually told to give their hearts to Christ. That is correct, and I hope they will do so. But your first concern must be not what you give to Jesus, but what Jesus gives to you. You celebrate his birth. Are we going to receive Christ, or are we going to reject him? Because nothing compares to this gift. And I hope for all of us, if we saw under the Christmas tree this large box, and in this box was all the wealth and power of the world we could ever want. In this box was everything that our heart truly desired. I would hope that we would reject that to have Christ. Think again of who Jesus is. He is the eternal co-creator, the Son of God who became a man to save mankind. And this rightly means that he who comes by faith into contact with Christ has come into contact with boundless love and power and mercy and grace. So how are we going to respond to Christ this Christmas? Let's pray. We thank you so much for your word, Father, and we thank you for your loving truth. Father, we're reminded this morning that we can't be lukewarm in how we see and receive and respond to Jesus. It's either we receive him or we reject him. And Father, I just pray for everyone here this morning, wherever they are, if they've been a Christian for many years or they're wavering on the line or they're just pretty apathetic to you. I just pray, Father, that they'll see their need for Jesus again. See their need for Jesus to receive him. We need that constant reminder, and I pray that that will be at the forefront of our minds this Christmas. We thank you for that imagery we have. We see that light and darkness cannot cohabit. They can't be together. So help us to be attracted to the light and life of Christ. Please bring us into your family, Father. It's the best family to be part of. We just pray, Father, for all of us here, wherever we're at with you, through your Spirit, Father, work your truth into our life. We thank you for your goodness and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, please give us a right view of Christ this Christmas. And Father, as we were encouraged before by the team that went down to Dunsborough, please give us one person that we could share of this great hope that we have with Christ. Family members who we know can have really hardened hearts to you, friends, people who are struggling, Father, please bring to mind an opportunity to tell of this great hope that we have with Christ. Help us to really appreciate who he is and what he's done for us. Thank you that you help us in this, Father. I just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.